The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, welcome everybody. This is John Gabriel with the Gabriel Method Detox Program, and we're on day one of the cleanse. I'm joined by my good friend and colleague, Nadia. Nadia, are you there?
I am here. Hi, John. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Really good, thanks.
This is a very exciting day. This is day one for everybody. So there's going to be lots of questions. We'll spend as much time as we need answering your questions and be a little bit confusing for the first 2 days, and then you'll fall into a really nice rhythm. So let's just talk about where we're at the moment. So we've gone through the pre-cleanse week, and it doesn't matter. I've had people say I didn't do the pre-cleanse week perfect. It doesn't matter. Whatever you did in the pre-cleanse week is fine because you did do some detoxing. If it wasn't perfect, that's okay. We've had 3 webinars. We're going to have 6 webinars this week. So we're going to be here every step of the way to make sure that we give you all the support you need on this cleanse. And remember, as Nadia has said many, many times, you cannot fail in this process. This is a process of assisting your body in detoxifying. And anything you do in that direction will benefit you. So Nadia, let's talk a little bit about the daily schedule. And this is just a proposed daily schedule. It's not written in stone. But why don't you walk us through this schedule?
Sure. So what we have written here is 7 a.m. or when you first wake up in the morning, do your detox visualization. So that's the first visualization you do in the morning. It'll help to set you up for your day. And then after that, about an hour after that, so we've got 8 a.m. here, do your first juice and your detox tea.
Right.
And then it follows along. So every couple of hours at 10 a.m. you do your second juice, then at noon your third juice. 2 hours after that is your second, or no, actually your first omega-3 drink. Mm-hmm. Then an hour later, your fourth juice. At 5 p.m., which is 2 hours later, your fifth juice. 7 p.m., a detox soup, really nice to keep you nice and warm, and an omega-3 drink. And then before you go to sleep, do another visualization. So yeah. Like John said, this is just a guide that we've given you. You don't have to stick to this 100%. Use this as a guide, and if you need to make different choices at different times, that's completely fine.
I think this is so important. Like for me, when I'm doing my cleanse, I'm not having 5 juices a day. I happen to really like broth. So broth is my liquid nutrient of choice. Broth is warm, it's nourishing, it tastes phenomenal when you season it right. So all of those different juices, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of questions about that. I don't want to have that many juices. How big should the juice be? Really what the idea is at least every couple of hours you are putting some sort of liquids in you that are nourishing. So you want to have a couple of juices, certainly, but if you want to have broths or teas instead of the juice or a greeny up Johnny, super greens, that's totally fine. Do you agree, Nadia?
Completely agree.
Okay. Great. Well, then we're going to talk a little bit about juicing. We talked about the benefits of low glycemic juicing and also how to transform your body into more of a fat burner than a sugar burner. That's going to be the topic of this particular webinar. But before we start, I know we've got a lot of questions, so I want to bring Dan in and try to answer as many questions first before we get going. So, Aaron, can we bring Dan in, please?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me? Good, thank you.
I can hear you great.
Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi. I have a really good question here, actually. It's from Katie. I've just found out I was pregnant today. So yeah. I know normally you shouldn't detox while pregnant, but this cleanse seems a bit more gentle and geared more to stabilizing our fat-burning hormones. So should I not do this cleanse, or would it be safe?
I would suggest for Katie to stick to raw foods. I would suggest not going into an all-liquid diet for this week, but just to stick to a very cleansing diet, which is raw foods. And a lot of, not only raw foods, but steamed vegetables and just a very whole food diet with healthy proteins and lots of vegetables and nuts and seeds. I think that would be best.
Yes, Katie, you can add the broths and the juices and the super greens all you want, but it's important to have solid foods, and most important, you've got to listen to your body. Your body's going to, when you're pregnant, it's like your body takes over and goes into a different mode. It's going to tell you what you need. Do not fight your body. Do not fight cravings at all. Just have the focus be on adding positive, types of healthy juices and healthy salads. Keep that focused, but then, you know, if you want a Mars bar, you got to have it, just because that's, you know, that's the reality of when you're pregnant. You probably won't want that, but it is important to listen to your body. Is that fair to say, Nadia?
Oh, very. I really like what you said there. Really important to listen to your body, and you're nourishing for two now, so you definitely want to pay attention to what's going on and what your body's asking for.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Thank you. Okay. Megan asks, my juicer, which is a Breville juice fountain crush, says to peel all citrus fruit. Since almost all the juices use lemon, and peeling lemons all day seems labor intensive, do you at GM have any suggestions?
Okay, well, so go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to suggest that if your juicer can't handle the peels of the lemon, you can juice the lemons and then just pour the lemon juice into your juice. What do you think, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Or just use less lemon. I mean, these are just guidelines. Some people find that the juices that I've created in those recipes have too much lemon anyway. So just use a little less lemon. That's not a big deal. That won't hurt you at all.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Two questions here from Susan. She's unclear when and how often to take the Green Me Up Johnny. That's the first question. Mm-hmm. And the second question, the omega-3 drink twice a day on the schedule, does that have flaxseed oil or chia seeds in it? Thanks.
Okay, omega-3 drink, that is made with either ground flax or chia seeds. The oil is something that you're taking separately. That's something you can just take a tablespoon of oil on its own and then follow it with a glass of water.
Yeah. And you can do one or the other as far as the omega-3 drink. You can do one or the other. And as far as the Green Me Up Johnny, you can have that pretty much any time you want. There's no specific time. You can have it in the first thing in the morning, in the mid-afternoon. You can substitute a juice for it. That's the place where you just really want to make it your own.
Okay. Thank you. This is a question from Carol, and it's for the pre-cleanse and post-cleanse. She's not sure what you mean by sprouting when you sprout nuts and seeds. She says, are there specific types of nuts and seeds we should use to get some sprouting happening? I soaked some almonds and pine nuts overnight, but they didn't sprout, but they were tasty. And any recommendations on seeds or nuts to use?
Okay, Nadia?
Okay. The term sprouting might be a little bit deceiving. You're not actually looking for the nut or seed to start to grow at all. Really, all you're doing is soaking them. And the reason you're doing that is just to release an invisible sort of enzyme inhibitor. It's not something that you can see with your naked eye. You're sprouting this, you're soaking the seeds to release that enzyme inhibitor, and that makes the nut and the seed more digestible, more easy for your body to break down the nutrients that are inside of it and assimilate those. So, for example, if you're using almonds, you'll soak them overnight in a bowl of water. In the morning, the almonds really aren't going to look much different than they did the night before. They may have plumped up a bit, but you're not going to necessarily see anything growing out of them. When we say sprouting almonds, that's really what we mean. So keep in mind that term might be a bit deceiving. You're not actually looking for a little sprout.
Great point. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Phyllis wants to know, this is actually just a logistics question. In the US, do we begin the actual juice cleanse on the morning of the 17th or on the morning of the 18th? Since the live call, which is what's happening now, doesn't start until 7:30 p.m., are we supposed to wait until the morning after the class to begin the juice portion of the cleanse?
So if it's evening for you now, when you wake up tomorrow, you can begin.
Okay. Thank you. Susan wants to know, is stevia detrimental to the cleanse when used in tea? So therefore, is stevia allowed at all this week?
I think a little bit of stevia in your tea is okay. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think it's fine as long as it's pure stevia. If a lot of times when you buy stevia, it's got other types of sweeteners in it, like maltodextrose. It's got other artificial ingredients. When you buy it at a big department store, it's going to have this big sign that says stevia. But when you read the ingredients, stevia is just a small portion of it. If it's just pure stevia extract, it's totally fine.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Good.
Helen asked a question regarding enemas this week. We do a flush with aloe and then do a coffee enema. Is this okay?
I missed the first part. If she does a what with aloe?
A flush with aloe.
Okay.
I guess an enema.
Okay. Enemas, they're not necessary for you to do this week. If you're wanting to do an enema, if you're having problems going to the bathroom, an enema can be helpful, but it certainly isn't something that's necessary. I don't want anyone to feel they have to run out and start to learn how to do that in order for this to be successful.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
L. Berman asks a question about grapeseed oil, which they've heard is able to withstand high temperatures. Would this be included in the oils that are okay to cook with? I'm assuming this is for the post-cleanse.
Yes, grapeseed oil is a good oil to cook with because it doesn't get corrupted at high temperatures. So the oils that you want to cook with are ghee, which is clarified butter, coconut oil, and grapeseed oil is another good choice. As long as it's cold pressed, not refined, because if it's refined, you lose the whole benefit. So they all have to be cold pressed, and the ghee's got to be just ghee is fine. But if it's cold pressed, it's a good oil to cook with, yeah.
Okay. Helen has a really good question here. My ankles are swollen. Would this be part of the detox?
It could be. It certainly could be. Everybody tends to react to these types of things differently sometimes. I would suggest keeping your legs elevated as much as you can.
Yeah. What that says to me is possibly your lymphatic system is working overtime to drain, and that could be causing swelling. So I would all the more reason to add more and more juices and liquids. Always have something flushing through you to help drain your lymphatic system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And speaking of the lymphatic fluid, you know, try and do a little bit of massage on your joints or a little bit of movement.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Thank you. Suzanne asks, I have for some weeks made an occasional morning veggie juice where I add ground flax and hemp seed. It is almost like a solid food and very filling. Is that okay? Is that still okay for this week, or should I use less?
I would suggest that you don't want to make your juices into a really heavy meal. Hemp seeds, they can turn a liquid into a sort of a heavy meal. The ground flax and the chia seeds that you're adding in the omega shake, if you wanted to add those into your green drink, it's just really about a tablespoon. So it will add some bulk, but it doesn't turn the entire juice into a solid meal. So I'm not sure how much she was using, but if she sticks to about a tablespoon, that should be good.
And also just to clarify that the juice that she's making should be just juice extract, not the pulp of the vegetable.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Jody wants to know, how do I handle having a stress test during this week?
A stress test, that's a physical exercise test, is that right?
Yeah. In a stress test she's going to be exerting herself typically they use a treadmill and they keep pushing you till you can't do it anymore. So she's going to be exerting herself to the maximum amount, which is not ideal for a cleanse, certainly. So what I would say for that is to make sure you're having lots of super greens, maybe some spirulina, and omega-3 drinks before and after. So more and the oils, the oils with the tea. Make sure you're getting all the more substantive types of nutrition before and after that. And if you feel afterwards like you have to eat something, then you're going to have to do it. It's not an ideal thing to do during a cleanse, but listen to your body afterwards.
Okay. Deborah wants to know, can I add the ground flaxseed to my broth, or does heating it create an undesirable effect?
Yeah, I would avoid adding it to the hot soup. I would say keep it with the room temperature so you can keep those fragile omegas in the proper form that your body can make use of them.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is if you let the juice cool for a little while, so that if it was warm but not room temperature, doesn't have to be room temperature, but a little bit warmer than room temperature, if you wanted to do that, then you could combine it. But if it's real hot, then no, it's not good.
Yeah, as long as it's not super hot.
Yeah. Okay, Dan.
Thank you. Yeah, Jolinda wants to know, I'm not a hot tea lover in the first place, so the detox tea is unpleasant to me. Is there anything else I can substitute?
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, I mean, you can substitute any of the other drinks that we have. In order to get the coconut oil, you can have a tablespoon of coconut oil just with some water, or the MCT oil just with some water, and you can have any of the other cooler drinks that we recommend, like the Green Me Up Johnny, or fresh juices, or the chia shake.
Okay.
Right, and then for teas, if you don't necessarily have to drink a tea hot, so if you want to have a peppermint tea, you can make it and let it cool down, and have sort of a cool tea drink as well.
Okay. One of the things I do when I'm cleansing is I take a big water bottle and I put a peppermint tea in it. What I do is I put peppermint tea, a little bit of sea salt, a little bit of cayenne pepper, and a little bit of cinnamon. And I just let that sit all day, and the water gets darker and darker, more steeped and infused with the peppermint. It tastes really nice.
That does sound nice.
Yeah, it's nice. All right, let's take one more question, then, and then we'll get into the body of the webinar. Yeah.
Okay. Sharon wants to know, can the chia omega-3 drink be drank warm?
Again, like John mentioned earlier, not hot because you want to keep the omegas in the form that your body can use them, but a little bit warm would be okay.
Yeah. Okay,
thank you. Great. All right, Ben, we'll bring you back in a little while. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we talked a lot about this already in a previous webinar about the benefits of low glycemic juicing, that is juicing things that are not too sweet. And I just want to talk a little bit more about that, if we can, Nadia, because it really speaks to the heart of something we're trying to achieve, which is converting our body from sugar burning to fat burning. And the reason we're trying to do that is because when your body's a fat burner, it burns your body fat so much easier. So that's the goal of what we're doing. So in the juices that we've put together, we're using things like cucumber, celery, spinach, Swiss chard, kale, and trying to avoid too much sweetness. And I just want to talk a little bit about that, about why we want to avoid the sweetness.
Right. So the reason we're trying to avoid the sweetness is because the fructose that's in fruit, it can raise your blood sugar. And it's true that it's not going to raise your blood sugar as quickly as other forms of sugar, but it still does raise your blood sugar. And when you're cleansing, your body is quite sensitive. So we're trying to keep you very balanced. We don't want you to have your blood sugar being raised really quickly and then dropping really quickly. So that's right. The reason to keep your juices mostly green. And the fruits, they taste really nice, so you can add them in for a little bit of taste, but mostly green, so it keeps that glycemic index low and keeps your blood sugar stable and balanced.
Right, and especially when you're juicing, it raises your blood sugar very quickly because all of the sugar gets concentrated into a liquid form that just rushes into your bloodstream. And the whole reason we're juicing anyway is because we want to give the digestion a break. So a juice is like a pre-digested vegetable drink. When you add fruit to that and the fruit sugar, it doesn't need to be digested, so it gets put into your bloodstream very, very quickly, and that causes lots of blood sugar fluctuation problems. The other thing is fructose gets converted into fat very quickly in the liver. It's extremely poor at triggering satiety. So you can, you know, you feel a rush of satisfaction, but you're still hungry with sugar. Whereas fat is very different. If you're having whole fruit, that's very different, isn't it, Nadia?
Very different, because it still has the fiber in it. And what you said there about triggering satiety is very, very important when you're cleansing. We're trying to keep you balanced, and we don't want you to have those cravings and that hunger come upon you. And having the low glycemic juices will help keep that hunger at bay.
Right, exactly. So once you're off the cleanse, fruit's a great, great thing to have. But during the cleanse period, that you have to be really, really careful about, especially when you're having potentially five juices a day, you have to be really careful not to overdo it with fruit. Let's talk about some healthy fats. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to agree with you about the fruits. And after the cleanse, you know, the whole fruits, they have the fiber and all of the components in them. So they're a lot easier for your body to digest.
Right. Okay, let's talk about the importance of healthy fats, starting with omega-3 fatty acids. Now, anyone that's followed the Gabriel method for any length of time knows that I'm very, very big on omega-3 fatty acids. And omega-3 fatty acids are a type of fat that is essential for reducing inflammation. Now, the inflammatory hormones cause your body to go into fat storage mode. They cause you to become insatiably hungry. They cause you to lose the ability to burn fat. So remember, Nadia, as we talked about, we're trying to shift from being sugar burners to fat burners. Well, the omega-3s are instrumental for making that shift because they reduce inflammation and help with hormonal balance. They're very good at getting your body to regain the ability to burn fat.
Right. I love the way this cleanse is designed to include omega-3s. It's really an important part of keeping you balanced as you move forward.
Right. And once again, you can have the omega-3s in the form of the omega-3 shake, or you can just take a tablespoon of chia seed oil, hemp seed oil, or flaxseed oil once a day, and that's totally fine. Let's talk about another really healthy fat, and that's coconut oil. What are your thoughts on coconut oil?
I love coconut oil. Coconut oil is something that my body really loves. It has a wonderful taste. Again, you're looking for really good quality coconut oil, so you want to get the cold-pressed organic coconut oil. And it's a medium-chain fatty acid, which means that your body can metabolize it very, very easily, but it doesn't throw you off balance.
Right.
And it's very, very nourishing for your body. And as a bonus, it's antifungal, it's antibacterial. So it does a lot of great things in your digestive tract.
Right, and in this particular point, it doesn't affect your insulin levels. That's really important because when you're constantly eating sugar all the time, you're elevating your insulin levels all the time. And insulin's the fat-making hormone. And when your insulin levels are elevated, two things happen. One, you go into this perpetual fat-making mode, but just as important and just as detrimental, you actually lose the ability to burn fat. And, you know, Nadia, people go on diets and things, and nobody even questions, do I have the ability to burn fat? And that's what this detox is all about, regaining the ability to burn fat. So when you're taking in nutrients that are satisfying you and nourishing you, and they're not elevating your insulin levels, you're regaining the ability to burn fat.
Right,
let's talk about
exactly.
Some other things about coconut oil.
Yeah, so it helps you to feel full, like it says there on the slideshow. It really does that, and I know this from my own life. I use coconut oil a lot, and it is very, very satisfying. When I take just a tablespoon of it, I feel very nourished inside, and I do feel full, and I don't feel that rush that I get from, you know, having something that is higher in sugar.
Exactly.
And it also slows down the absorption of sugar of anything else that you might eat with it, so it goes along really well with helping you to balance the other things in your diet, too.
Right. And I love what you said before, which is amazing. It's antimicrobial, antifungal, which means it kills all the unfriendly bacteria in your body. That's a very powerful combination of things for a superfood.
Right. And as a bonus, it's great topically as well. You know, as you're taking it internally, you can rub it all over your face and all over your skin. It's a wonderful moisturizer, and it nourishes your skin too.
Right. So as we said before, Our goal in this cleanse is to move away from being a sugar burner to being a fat burner. What Dr. Ron Rosedale, he created something called the Rosedale Diet, and I learned a lot from him because of his brilliant research on understanding the importance of omega-3 fatty acids, how insulin resistance and leptin resistance can put your body into fat storage mode, and how to reverse that. Now, he focuses mainly on diet, but it turns out there's lots of other things that can cause the problem, such as stress, toxins, anxiety, sleep problems, dehydration, medications. So we focus on everything that can cause your body to go into a fat-burning metabolism. But the things that we're doing specifically on this detox are what he would say is transforming us into a fat-burning metabolism. So Nadia, so during the cleanse, basically what we're saying is we're getting most of our energy from healthy fats, really super nutrients, and there's protein in the super nutrients instead of mainly sugar. Is that right?
Right, exactly. And so we're keeping you nourished without using a lot of those sugars that raise your blood sugar really quickly and then drop it really quickly. So we're keeping you balanced as you move through this, and then that will keep you balanced as you go forward once you start eating again.
Right. And this is a really good point. Your body is designed to make glucose from the food you eat. It's not designed to intake large amounts of dietary glucose. Glucose is sugar, is the most basic form of sugar from the foods that we eat. And what Dr. Rosedale says, which is, I think is great, is that the key to health, longevity, fitness is to make fat, make sugar, not eat sugar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is a really, really nice way to put it. And it goes back to your body is very wise. Your body knows how to do this. And years ago, when humans were first on the earth, there wasn't a lot of refined sugar and all of this artificial sugar around that is in the diet now. And the human body knew how to create the glucose from the diet that people were eating back then. It's the same now, trying to get back to that natural way of eating.
Right, and this helps a lot. Now let's talk about the transition, because sometimes the transition can be a little bit awkward. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and that's something that a lot of people might feel these first couple days of the cleanse. So you're trying to transition from sugar burning metabolism to fat burning metabolism, and during these first couple days of the cleanse, you're also moving your body into a detox mode. So it's natural to feel a little sluggish, to feel that extra tiredness and that fatigue. And you also might have these cravings, and you might also feel dizzy, or a headache is very common. You want to make sure that you're hydrating, nourishing your body with according to the guide that we've given you, and resting.
Right, exactly. And so before we go any further, let's bring Dan in with some more questions, just so we make sure we cover as many questions as we can.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Again.
Okay. All right. We've got a question here from Mireille. I want to know if the detox mode you're talking about, John, is the same as a ketosis state.
You want to address that, Nadia?
I was just going to jump in and say that this particular cleanse, the way it's designed to keep you very balanced. So we have designed it so that you're moving very slowly into a detox mood. Very slowly into detox mode, and then coming out of it very slowly in the end. Did you want to add anything to that?
So the focus is not to by any means to put you in ketosis at all. The focus is to allow your body to cleanse. That's what the focus is. Now, the reason why we say to stay away from sugar is because it can cause a lot of problems with your insulin levels and make the cleanse much, much harder. But it's not at all the focus to go into ketosis, no. Okay?
Okay, yeah? Thank you. Yeah. Troy Lynn asks, how much omega-3 should I take in one day? Can I add coconut oil or MCT to the soup broth?
Okay.
So in the schedule, we've got it as for two omega-3 shakes. And again, those omega-3 shakes, you can also instead just take a tablespoon of oil. Two a day is certainly a really nice amount. If you wanted to add another one, I think that would be fine. If you wanted to add the oil to the soup, I don't see any reason why you couldn't. Again, I would let the soup cool down a little bit and not do it when it's really hot. What do you think, John?
I think it's a great idea, and you don't have to be as worried with coconut oil about the heat, because it has a higher smoke point, a higher threshold for heat, so it doesn't get corrupted at high temperatures. So I don't mind that idea at all. I think it's a really good idea, actually. I might even try it myself. Excellent.
Angela wants to know, with the tea, 4 cups is a lot to drink at once. Is this meant to last the whole day? And is it okay to heat it up?
Let me stop you. You're not meant to drink 4 cups of tea at once. We should probably clarify that if they're getting that somewhere on the page. That's just the recipe. You don't need to. That's a recipe for 4 cups. Yeah, you can save that and you can heat it up later. That's the idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah. This question is regarding the coconut oil. Is it okay to heat it up over the stove after the coconut oil has been blended into it? And P.S. I'm loving the visualizations.
Oh, great.
Oh, wonderful.
I think so. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, like you mentioned before, coconut oil has a high heat point. So heating it is not going to corrupt it like the omega-3 oils.
Okay, thank you. Larissa wants to know, what can you add to the Green Me Up, Johnny?
You can add the chia. You can add chia seeds. You can add the oils to it. What else do you think? You can even combine the juices with them. I think. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. You can. You can really add that to pretty much anything.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
This sort of ties in with Louis' question. Then, is it okay to combine the flax and chia seed in one drink for the omega shake?
Yeah, you can. I would just keep it to about a tablespoon of, a tablespoon of quantity. Yeah.
Total. Yeah. So don't have a tablespoon of each.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Nancy wants to know, when cleaning the produce in the sink with vinegar, should you clean the veggies and fruit separately?
I'm sorry. What do you mean by separately? Like.
This is actually. Sorry, it's. I've even thought this myself. When you're washing you're soaking the vegetables in the vinegar, should you do your fruit separately, or can it all be thrown in together?
I've always thrown it all in together.
Yeah, there's no reason why not.
Yeah. Okay, Joanne, this is probably something a lot of people have thought or noticed. She says, my breath has changed in the last few days. Will that continue as long as I continue to avoid the foods I've removed from my diet? I would not call it bad breath, but it is just different.
Yeah, your breath certainly will change as you go into detox mode, and that's your body rebalancing. So, stay aware of that, and notice as you move forward after we're done the cleanse and you continue to make healthier and healthier diet and lifestyle choices, you'll notice that your breath might continue to change as you move forward in the sense that bad breath will limit itself. You won't have as much bad breath. You won't have as much body odor as your diet gets cleaner and cleaner. And during the detox, that your breath and your body odor can get a little bit stronger, and that's simply because your body is getting the chance to push out more right now.
Okay, so Dan, okay. We'll bring you back in a little while. I just want to talk about some important concepts going forward. So the first one, Nadia, is the importance of staying warm. I'm wondering if you could talk about that.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before, John, and this is a really, really important point. You want to keep your body comfortable while you're doing this. You want to make this as easy and enjoyable as possible for yourself. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure you're not getting cold. So when you're cold, your body has to expend energy to keep you warm. So you're trying to allow your body to use all of its resources to now detox during this week. So keep yourself warm by making sure you're having those broth soups. Those nice warm teas can keep you warm. Keep warm clothes on, dress in layers. Nice hot baths are really nice. Saunas and steam rooms are also nice to keep you warm.
Yeah. This
and
is
get
so
out
important.
Into the sun as well.
Absolutely. This is so important, especially if you're living in the Northern Hemisphere right now where it's winter. Fall. This is so important because if you end up getting cold while you're detoxing, it'll stimulate hunger. Because if you think about it, originally our fat programs are there to protect us against starvation and hypothermia, chronically cold. So when you're detoxing, it's harder to stay warm. It causes more stress. So it's just so, so crucial. So this, I would say, is one of the most important things to a successful cleanse this week if you're living in a cold climate. Lots and lots of warm liquids. Even your water, you can have it warm, like warm water with lemon would be really, really good.
Yeah, and take advantage of the sun. Even if you are in a cold climate, if it's a sunny day, do try and get some sun into your eyes, onto your face.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about also a very, very important concept right now, days one and two. I wonder if we can, what your thoughts are on that.
Right, so this is the time when your body is transitioning into detox mode. And because it's not quite there yet, it's just transitioning, this is the time when a lot of people might find it challenging. So you might still be feeling hungry during these days. You might be finding that you're thinking about food a lot, or you're maybe even craving some things here and there. And what you want to do is realize that it does take about 30 hours for your body to go into detox mode. So during these first 2 days, you want to make sure that you are drinking enough, that you are nourishing your body. Don't let too much space go by in that schedule. from putting things in. So make sure every hour, every couple hours, you're having some liquid nutrients.
Yeah.
And be aware that, you know, along with these first couple days as you're transitioning, you might feel some of those things that we've been talking about. So headaches, dizziness, fatigue. Keep hydrating your body, and then support your body. So you want to rest as much as possible. You might need to sleep longer than you're used to. Let your body take naps if it wants to, if that can fit into your schedule. Nice warm baths, Epsom salt baths are really, really nice. And move your body as much as you can. Try and do some yoga movements. That one of your bonuses with this program is the GM yoga program. Try and get engage in that, or do some massage on your joints to get that lymphatic fluid flowing.
The one point I want to make, and Nadia, we've talked about this a couple of times, is we don't want you to do strenuous exercise. So like the GM Fitness that came with as a bonus as part of this program, do it in the pre-cleanse and in the post-cleanse. And we're going to talk about specifically when to do it. As a matter of fact, it's crucial to do it at a certain point after the post-cleanse, not during the cleanse. Do not do strenuous exercise. The reason not is you don't want to break down muscle fiber, because that will cause your body to crave protein and activate your digestion. So do not do strenuous exercise, gentle movement. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm really glad you reminded everyone of that. That is really important. And another reason for that is your body is working really hard. Even though you might not feel like it sometimes, your body is working hard at a cellular level, and you want to let your body's energies concentrate on that and not have to expend energy on cardio exercise.
Exactly. And I just want to reemphasize what you said is the first 2 days is when everything comes up, and then it just gets easier and easier from there. So let's just talk about some frequently asked type of questions. Like, doesn't dietary fat lead to body fat?
So when you're talking about dietary fat in this question, there's a big difference between healthy fat and unhealthy fat. So Nowadays in the standard diet, there's a lot of really, really unhealthy fat. That can do a lot of really nasty things in your body. But healthy fats, like what we're speaking of, the omega-3 fats, the coconut oils, those things are very helpful inside of our body.
Yeah. So what leads to body fat is anything that elevates insulin levels, because insulin is the hormone that makes body fat. And healthy fats do not elevate insulin levels. Unhealthy fats can elevate insulin levels because they do something called they cause insulin resistance. They make your cells less sensitive to insulin, and that elevates insulin levels. So the actual fat won't elevate the insulin level, but the consequence of eating it will cause a hormonal change that will cause your insulin levels to go higher and higher. So unhealthy fats are refined vegetable oils. The types of things that you get when you go out and get something deep fried, or even most restaurants that are not conscious use, and sometimes we do, canola oil, cottonseed oil. What are some of the unhealthy fats that you know, Nadia?
Yeah, deep fried foods are one of the biggest things in the standard diet. All of those fast food places use their menu is abundant in deep fried foods. Canola oil, like you said, is something that I see often. Sometimes I've even gone into restaurants that are labeled as healthy restaurants, and when I look at the ingredients, they're also using canola oil. So you want to really be conscious of that and be aware of what kind of fat you are putting into your body.
To me, fat is the biggest bang for the buck, in the sense that you can change You can change just by changing a fat from an unhealthy fat to a healthy fat, you get a hormonal benefit that causes your body to lose weight, but you don't sacrifice taste at all. You know, it's not like you're eating less calories, you're not having less fat, and you're not having less taste. You're just substituting one fat for another, and it makes all the difference in the world in your body.
Right, it really does. You don't have to give up some of those things that are your favorite things. Just learn
Not
how to
all.
Make them in healthier ways.
Exactly, and we'll talk a lot about that. This next question I just want to address, doesn't dietary fat cause heart disease? Heart disease, for the most part, is caused by a number of different things, including toxins and insulin resistance. So when you have insulin resistance, your arteries become impermeable to nutrients, because they become resistant to insulin and other hormones. That makes them hard. You get hardening of the arteries that leads to heart disease. So it's not fat necessarily, unless it's unhealthy fat, so that causes heart disease. It's basically eating a high sugar diet, or eating unhealthy fats that elevate your insulin levels. So
right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the word fat has gotten a really bad rap, and there is a lot of unhealthy fats out there, but it is very, very important to, fat is a really important part of our diet, but we're talking about the healthy fats. And people tend to, because fat has gotten such a bad rap, people get scared of all fats. And I just want to remind people that the healthy fats, the omega-3s, the things that come from flax seeds and chia seeds, from avocado, from coconut oil, those kind of really healthy fats, those are very healthy and crucial and necessary part of our diet.
Right, and it's so ironic now, you know, because when we went through this fat-free phase in the 80s, and you still see it out there, something
right.
advertised, you know, Yoplait yogurt, 99% fat-free, loaded with sugar and different things that can cause inflammation. And all these hormonal effects of that is basically making your body fat and causing heart disease.
Right,
it's really
exactly.
ironic.
It really, yeah. really is. Yeah, it's yeah. about a whole mind shift and a change in perspective.
Exactly. So what if I'm not going to the bathroom a lot or not at all? Let's talk about that.
Okay, well, if you are going to the bathroom a lot, that is completely normal. When you're cleansing, you go to the bathroom a lot more often than you normally would. And, you know, I always say that one of the most inconvenient things about doing a cleanse is that I'm constantly running to the bathroom all the time. Yeah. That is completely normal. You are putting your body into a flush mode. If you find that you're not going to the bathroom at all, then I would take a look at how much you're drinking. Make sure that you are hydrating so that you are getting liquid nourishment into your body at least every hour or at least every couple of hours. You want to make sure that you're putting enough in to get it out. Go ahead.
Okay, well, let's talk about the difference between, you're talking about urinating. Let's talk about what about bowel movements. Should we be having bowel movements?
Yeah, the first couple of days, your body is still releasing food that you've eaten during your pre-cleanse. So it's definitely normal to have bowel movements the first days. As you move forward, bowel movements still can and usually do happen. They might not happen to the same degree. If you find that you're not having bowel movements at all these first few days, I would encourage massaging your abdomen, just trying to encourage peristalsis to happen. So you want to massage your abdomen in a clockwise direction. And if you need to, you can do a home enema. Again, that's probably not going to be necessary for most people. Just continue to take in the nourishment according to the schedule that we've given you. Make sure that you're taking in a lot, and your body will go into that flush mode and will start releasing both urination and having bowel movements.
Okay, great. So here's a good question. What if my juice has been out for more than 24 hours?
So you can make your juice. It's nice to drink your juice fresh as much as you can, but in an ideal world, that's not always possible. So you can certainly make your juice ahead of time, and then I would suggest storing it in the fridge, in a glass jar in the fridge, and then take it out as you need it.
Okay. All right, good. So Dan's got a lot of questions, and we've got some time. So let's just keep answering questions then.
Yes, I'm
fine. In the meantime, before
we
do, yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Nancy has a question about warming up the broths. Is it okay to do it in the microwave?
Ooh.
I would suggest doing it on the stove. Microwaves really they zap all the nutrients out of your food, and as much as you can, I would avoid using the microwave.
Yeah. Especially during the cleanse phase. Yeah.
Okay. Madonna has a question about the amount of chia and coconut oil. Is there a maximum amount that you can have?
Well, I don't. What's in the schedule is 2 omega drinks a day. I would say you could add another one. I don't know if you want to go too overboard with it. What do you think, John?
Yeah, no, I think that you got to feel it out. You might want it in the first couple of days, but you might find that after day three, you're probably going to want to be missing juices, missing the omega-3 shakes, missing all things. You're just not going to be as hungry. Now, what I would encourage you when that happens is to still have something, like have a couple of sips of a juice, a couple of sips of tea, maybe not the whole thing, but just keep a schedule going where you're flushing every 2 hours. But you'll probably find that you won't want too much. But in the first couple of days, if you're having one or two extra omega-3 shakes, that's fine.
And with the coconut oil, is there a case of having too much, or is it okay to add to other things?
I would say two to three is a good number.
Okay, thank you. Roma has a question regarding grinding linseeds. Do they need to be ground just prior to using, or can you grind up a week's supply in one go?
No, you need to grind them just before you use them. And the reason for that is because flax seeds or linseeds, they once the outer shell is broken, they go rancid very quickly. So those healthy fats that we've been talking about, they get corrupted very easily once that outer shell is broken. So you want to grind them up fresh just before you use them. Do you agree, John?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they'll last a day or two in the fridge. A week's definitely pushing it.
Okay. Yeah. And how long before, when you're soaking the chia seeds, how long should you be leaving them before you drink it?
I would say just about 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good number.
Okay, thank you. Linda asks, your detox supplement list references bentonite. Do you recommend taking this daily with psyllium during the cleanse? And then is it sodium or calcium bentonite?
So the bentonite clay / psyllium husk drinks, they're not something that you need to take. They're not necessary during the cleanse. You can take them if you'd like to, and if you do, what I would urge is to make sure that you're drinking a full glass or more of water after you have that. You want to make sure that that stays hydrated in your body as it's moving through your intestines.
You want to also make sure you're having bowel movements if you're taking bentonite with psyllium, because you want that to pass through you. So bentonite is a clay. It doesn't have any nutritious value whatsoever, but it sucks heavy metals out of your system. The combination of the bentonite with the psyllium husk helps move it through your body. If you do take bentonite clay, you want to make sure that you take it either an hour after anything that you've had that has nourishment in it, and wait another hour before anything else, because it's going to absorb the nutrients in the food that you're eating also. So it's, again, it's not part of the schedule. It's just a suggested type of thing, and it does any type of bentonite is fine.
Okay. And how about using diatom? I apologize for my
diametaceous
pronunciation.
Diametaceous. Yeah.
Earth, yes.
Diametaceous earth, yeah. So diametaceous earth is great for killing unfriendly bacteria, which is one of the things we're doing during this detox. And if you are taking diametaceous earth, then you would want to have it with something nourishing. You don't want to take it with the bentonite clay, because the bentonite will cancel it out. Have you used diametaceous earth before, Nadia?
I haven't, actually. I've heard many good things about it, but I haven't used it myself.
Yeah, I've used it once or twice. I've had some positive benefits with it. It basically goes through and kills all your unfriendly bacteria.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Ben?
Debbie has a question regarding fruit. Is one piece of fruit, like a green apple or a pear, in a juice of green cucumber, celery, the total is about 40 ounces, is that an inappropriate amount of fruit to have?
No, not at all. That sounds like just enough to give it a nice taste.
Yeah.
Helen has asked, and we've had a similar question before, is it okay to make chia pudding with coconut water during this week?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, chia, it would taste really nice.
I was just about to say it's a good idea, but I realized that I just made a video about that. If you look in the members area on the how-to videos, there's an under, I don't know if it's under juicing, it might just be under how-to, there's another instructional video on alternative chia drinks, and one of them is with coconut water, cinnamon, and a little bit of cayenne pepper and a little bit of sea salt, and comes out really nice.
So you actually
diluted it. Yeah, you diluted it.
So John, what do you think about, the question was about making chia pudding. So when they're making the drinks, it's really just about a tablespoon of chia in a glass of liquid. If they're talking about making a pudding, that can be sort of a lot more chia in liquid, and it can be more of a meal.
Thank you.
What do you think about that during the cleanse? Because I think it might add a lot more bulk inside.
Yeah, no, I think it still has to be a tablespoon of chia.
Right.
You can just make it in a smaller amount, but don't have a whole big bowl of chia pudding. Good point,
right.
Nadia. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roma has misplaced the ginger she bought yesterday. How crucial is it in the detox? And also, what is the purpose of lemon? Is it flavor or metabolic?
Okay. Nadia, let me just address the first thing. I just want to use one of your terms. You can't fail in this. So that means that if you don't have ginger, that's fine. Ginger is an anti-inflammatory, and so it's going to help you. Lemon also is not crucial. It makes the juice a little bit more alkaline. Even though it's an acid, it creates an alkaline effect that helps with flushing your body out. So it's a good detoxifier, but none of those things are important. Turmeric, I think, is great in a juice. That's a great anti-inflammatory. But whatever you have is fine. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yep, use what you have.
Yeah. Okay, good. Dan?
I apologize, I've got some noise in the background. Diane asks, this is actually a really interesting point. I'm aware that there would be a point where energy levels would be low on a detox, but was not aware it would happen quite as quickly and as heavily as it has. Can this transition stage occur immediately, and if so, how long should this transition stage last?
Yeah. Nadia?
Yeah, it can definitely happen immediately. For some people it doesn't, but I have seen a lot of people where it does, and some people have even experienced that during the pre-cleanse week. So yeah. If that does happen, you know, really listen to your body. What your body is telling you is that it's working hard and it needs rest.
Yeah, no, that's very common. You know, as soon as you go into this mode, your body's transitioning and it's just going to shut down a little bit. And you just got to be as gentle as possible with your body. So it's a great question. Okay, Dan?
Okay, hi. We have a question from Robert. Can we have coconut milk during this week or only coconut water?
I would suggest coconut water, sticking to that.
Okay,
Nancy actually has a really interesting question here. Will this cleanse potentially kill off any mouth yeast infections?
Yeah, one of the things that happens when you're cleansing is that your body gets the chance to repair. So anything in your body that needs repair or needs recovery from, your body is getting the chance to to attend to those issues. So if there's something happening in your mouth, your body certainly can take the chance to recover from that. And I've seen that happen in myself and with lots of people with, you know, little issues that are happening in their body as they cleanse. They feel a lot of those aches and pains and irritations, they go away during the cleanse.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what happens is you're killing off yeasts, bacteria, funguses, parasites. You're basically starving them is what you're doing. They die off, and then your body has the opportunity to replenish with healthy bacteria. That's why we'll talk about this later, but it's really important toward the end of the detox or after the detox to have lots of probiotics and fermented foods so you can replenish with friendly bacteria now that you've killed off all the bad bacteria.
Right. And I just want to mention, too, that as your body is pushing things out of your system, it might feel like some of your symptoms are getting stronger, and you want to be very, very gentle with your body and let the process happen. So if a lot of fungus or yeast is dying off within your system, your body needs to eliminate that. And as it's eliminating, you might feel like you're getting more of the yeast symptoms coming up, and that's simply your body pushing them out. Be gentle and let that happen. And usually what happens is after you get an uprise of the symptoms, then they go away and they stay away.
Yeah, great point. Okay, Dan?
Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Helen asks, and this is probably ties in with the previous topic, can you talk about releasing and detoxing emotional stress during this cleanse? I'm aware that I've been stressed this past year and it feels like I've gained and held on to weight because of that.
Okay.
Yeah, when you're cleansing and detoxing, you certainly cleanse on an emotional level as well as a physical level, and your body will release what it can at the rate that it can during the cleanse, so that will be different for everybody, but there is certainly an emotional aspect to all of this. So just as you're supporting your physical body, you want to really, really support your emotional body as well, and one of the best ways to do that is with those visualizations that we've given you.
Exactly. That's why we created, that's one of the reasons we created the visualizations. One is to really help you communicate to your body that you're doing this for health benefits, and the other is to reduce stress and release emotional toxins that you've acquired. So yeah, the visualizations are really, really a key component, and most cleanses don't have them. That's one of the most unique aspects of this cleanse, and I would consider it one of the most important aspects. So
yeah,
you might,
as well.
So you might, the first couple of days, you might want to do a couple of you might want to do visualizations a couple of times a day, actually.
Okay. Ibi asks, do you recommend cod liver oil while detoxing?
I don't think it's necessary. What do you think, John?
No, I think it's a mistake, actually. I think it's too heavy, and cod liver oil can have a lot of heavy metals also. So it's probably a mistake.
Okay. Joanne asks, what about using olive oil during this week?
Okay. So olive oil is not – go ahead. Go ahead, Nadia.
I was just going to say a good quality olive oil isn't a bad thing, but I really, really like the coconut oils and the flax oil and the chia seeds oil that we're suggesting.
Yeah, see the coconut oils and the chia seed oils do specific things. They make specific hormonal changes that we're trying to accomplish over this week. The olive oils don't. So
right.
Even though they may not be bad, they don't accomplish any goal.
Okay. Roma has an interesting question. Can the detox reverse insulin resistance?
That's part of the idea. You see, see, toxins cause insulin resistance. Having elevated sugar levels cause insulin resistance. Stress causes insulin resistance. Digestion problems cause insulin resistance. So in all of these different ways, we're addressing the things that can cause insulin resistance. So that's very much the idea.
Okay. Joanne is asking a question about ghee. Normally I would only use it to cook. Is there any other way I can use it? I don't think it is meant to be used like regular butter. Am I correct?
You can put it in your teas, right, Nadia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't necessarily use it as butter once the cleanse is over.
Yeah. I use ghee for anything that I use butter for, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zoe wants to know, can I use flax seeds without grinding them?
I would suggest grinding them. Grinding them really breaks down that outer shell. If you don't break that outer shell down, they can go right through your body without your system benefiting from them.
Yeah, if you don't want to grind them, you're going to have to soak them in water overnight to break down that shell. It's a very hard shell.
Okay. Linda has found red Swiss chard in the store. Is that okay to use, or would you prefer that green Swiss chard is used?
No, they're all good, absolutely. Any vegetables that you're having, except for carrot and beet, are going to be good. Don't you agree, Nadia?
Definitely, and it's nice to mix and match, so use the red sometimes and the green other times. The red gives your juice a nice red color, which is nice.
Cool, yeah. Okay, then?
Graham wants to know how much juice in one serve. Is it are the portions just enough to feel satiated?
Yeah, I think the recipe is like an 8-ounce glass, but you don't have to drink the whole glass. And if you want more, you can have more. That's the way I see it. What do you think, Nadia?
Yep, that's what I think too.
Excellent.
There's no set recipe for these things. We're giving you guidelines, but certainly make it your own.
Okay.
Carol wants to know, Nadia, when you mentioned before about massaging our tummies in a clockwise direction, is that clockwise as if we have a clock sitting on our stomach facing outward, or if we have a clock in front of us?
It's a clock sitting on your stomach facing outward. So you're going to start at the, if you're looking down at your tummy, start at the bottom right and move up, over to the left, and down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sharon,
that's because the way your colon moves, is that the idea, Nadia?
Yeah, your stool naturally moves in that direction through your large intestine and out your body.
Makes sense. Okay.
Sharon wants to know, with having to have something every 1 to 2 hours, do you have to have one of each of the five juices every day and broth, or
no.
Can you just have
no.
the yeah?
You can have whatever you want. It's that simple.
She's also asking about using coconut oil in the broth instead of the tea, but we've answered
that's okay. That's a good idea.
Joanne wants to know, during the cleanse, how many probiotic supplements would you recommend, and when should I take them?
I
would suggest taking...
Go ahead.
I was going to suggest taking one a night is a nice thing to do. What do you think, John?
I think that's great. Or one in the morning, one in the night, just one day. You can go a little bit further and have two a day if you want. But then after the cleanse is over, that's when you want to go a little bit heavier. I would say you take maybe three or four a day for a week afterwards, just to give your body, replenish your body with friendly bacteria now that you've killed out all the bad bacteria.
Yep, that sounds nice.
Okay, this is probably going to come up for a few people. Marjan has asked, what if you can't tolerate the juice? I started with the juice this morning, but I felt hungry and nauseated and had to eat. What should I do?
So then keep experimenting with juices that work for you. Maybe dilute them, but don't push it. Do not push it with the juices. Try the other things. I would say go with broth. Usually when I cleanse, I'll have one juice a day, and the rest of the time it's broth. That's just my preference. So go with broth, go with teas, go with the chia shakes. Don't push it with the juice. Really, really good question. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yeah, and I like the way you said that. It reminds people that schedule is just a suggestion. Make it your own and listen to what your body's telling you. And we want this process to be enjoyable for you.
Yeah. What you may find is if you revisit the juices 3 days into the cleanse, they are not going to make you as nauseous because you've done some serious detoxing over the first 2 days. Don't you agree?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Den?
Ken wants to know regarding keeping warm in a hot tub during the detox. Will the chemicals that you have in the water cause a problem? And should you shower afterwards to remove the chlorine?
So if you can use a filter on your tap, that would be great. I know that municipal tap water in a lot of the cities does have a lot of stuff in it that's not so great. You can also you're using the tub to keep you warm, so you don't have to stay in there for a long time. You can soak in there just for a short time to get warm and then put your layers of clothing on.
Okay.
Faraday asks, do we actually eat the chia seeds and the chia shake?
Yeah, you're ingesting those.
Yeah.
No, but I think the question is, should you be chewing or just swallowing them whole?
Okay.
As long as you're getting them in.
Okay, I would just say that it's probably better to swallow them whole because the act of chewing, as you mentioned earlier, Nadia, does sort of activate your digestion a little bit.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Regarding storing the juice in a glass jar in the fridge, how long before it wouldn't be considered fresh enough?
Well, again, if the fresher you can drink them, the better. But, you know, we have to take real life into consideration. So if you make the juices in the morning, you can make enough juice for all day and drink your juice all day. You can make your juice the night before and it should still be good the next morning. What do you think, John?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Susan wants to know about vegetables that contain goitrogens in them. Are they okay to eat raw or juice when normally cooking removes the goitrogens?
Okay, Nadia?
So the greens that we're recommending in the juice, I think those juices are fine to drink. You want to definitely have a variety of things. If there are certain vegetables that you don't want to use, if you're concerned about that, then leave them out and just use other ones. There's so many vegetables out there that there's no need to use ones that your body is telling you that you don't want.
Yeah, so kale has a little bit of that in it, and that's the only vegetable really that has that can cause a problem. So I would say if you're sensitive, then don't have too much kale.
Okay. Yeah. Phyllis wants to know, I normally take my magnesium citrate in the evening. Should magnesium be taken during the cleanse?
What do you think, Adia?
I think that I don't think it will cause a problem during the cleanse. You might find that you might not need it because your body is naturally getting really, really, will be a lot more fatigued and tired. So you might find that you might not need to take it. But I don't see it as a big problem. What do you think, John?
You're also getting a lot of magnesium from the vegetables. I mean, green leafy vegetables are full of magnesium. That's the green in the vegetables is the magnesium, basically. So you're getting tons and tons of magnesium. The green in green leafy vegetables is chlorophyll, and inside every chlorophyll molecule is a magnesium atom. So basically, if it's green and leafy, you're getting magnesium.
Okay, thank you. This is the last question for the time being. This is a really interesting question. Carol asks, my daughter is also doing the detox with me. Both her ankles and her wrist are now painful with movement, but there is no swelling. Mm. Could this be attributed to the lymphatics accumulating?
Yeah, I see that as a common thing that happens with a lot of people, achy, stiff joints while they're detoxing. And I would suggest, you know, just continue to hydrate, massage those joints, do your movement, do some yoga movement, because you do want to get that lymphatic fluid moving. And the lymph nodes are located in the joints of our body. So there definitely could be some build up there, and you want to make sure that you're encouraged that to keep moving, which you can do with massage and the yoga movements and the type of movements that are helpful during the cleanse, like yoga, qigong, tai chi, those slower movements.
Lots of flushing out. You're flushing out toxins from your joints is what's happening. Okay, so Dan, thanks very much for that. I think that's it for the webinar then. We're going to be here every day this week. We've got 5 more webinars every day this week to answer all of your questions. Remember, this first couple of days are the ones that can be the most challenging, because your body's shifting from its normal metabolism into a detox mode, and that can be a little bit challenging. So just be really, really patient with yourself. Listen to lots of visualizations. Get lots of warm liquids. Don't worry too much about the schedule. If you don't like this juice or that juice, don't worry about that. But just make sure you're nourishing yourself and flushing out as much as possible. Nadia, any last tips you want to give people before we go?
Be gentle. Be gentle with yourself and be proud of yourself. You're doing a great job. And I really look forward to connecting with everyone tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay. I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful day. And we will speak to you in 23 hours. Thanks very much, Nadia. Okay. Thank you, Dan, Shannon, Aaron, everybody that was on. Thanks very much. And we'll speak to you soon.